Welcome to Monterey Bay This Week from KAZU News. It's Saturday, February 21st. I'm Katie Brown. How to hold on. A Black History Month workshop centered around empathy and music is underway at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur. Laverne McLeod is an activist and author who has lived in Big Sur for 46 years. This is her fourth year leading the workshop.
We're going to celebrate, and we celebrate quietly through learning of the stories of different African Americans and what they have contributed through time, engineering, mathematics, arts, philosophy, political science, so many things that have just been, smashed around or somebody else got the credit for it.
She says the celebration goes beyond breaking down stereotypes related to Black folks in America.
It applies to the diaspora. It applies to people of different cultures and backgrounds because they have similar histories where they are, annihilated and wanted to be smashed out.
Grounding exercises, empathy teachings, introspective work, and movement with music are all part of the experience.
When I'm trying to instill guilt, forget all of that. Let's look at us as people. Let's look at everybody else as people.
McLeod says difficult and uncomfortable feelings are inevitable. So Grammy-nominated singer and composer Melanie Damore is co-leading the workshop.
The minute that something gets really, down, Melanie just comes up with the wonderful song that percolates us, it lightens up.
In more light news, several events celebrating the Lunar New Year and Year of the Fire Horse are happening in Santa Cruz this weekend. On Saturday, the Resource Center for Nonviolence is hosting a discussion with three local Chinese-American leaders. The conversation will include discussions about the history, resilience, and community contributions of Chinese immigrants in the United States. Doors open at 2:30 p.m. and the event starts at 3 p.m. On Sunday, Flex Kids Culture is hosting a Chinese New Year celebration. Traditional Chinese food, music, and cultural presentations will fill the afternoon. Earlier this week, we learned about ongoing organizing efforts from the California Nurses Association. Here is KAZU's health reporter, Ngozi Cole.
California nurses continue to push for state legislation that will create a single-payer healthcare system. This would help make healthcare more affordable for everyone, says Jasmine Ruddy. She is with the California Nurses Association, a sponsor of the bill.
This would mean no more out-of-pocket costs, no more copays, deductibles, or premiums. Instead, we pay for healthcare for all through a system of progressive taxation.
The bill, AB1900, or CalCare, was recently reintroduced by Assemblymember Ash Kalwa of San Jose. If enacted, it will create a free state-run health insurance program. Kalwa has introduced CalCare before, but both in 2021 and 2024, it was blocked. Ruddy says a more affordable system is urgent right now, as effects of federal cuts to programs like Medi-Cal start to kick in.
Our belief is that legislatures in California have an opportunity and a responsibility to respond to these unprecedented attacks.
Over 200 unions and organizations have shown support for CalCare, including the California Federation of Teachers and Physicians for a National Health Program's California chapter. The bill will be heard in committees by April.
The California Nurses Association also sponsored a nationwide day of action on Thursday. In a statement, the group called Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Customs and Border Protection, quote, among the country's top public health threats. Local nurses at Salinas Valley Health and Dominican Hospital in Santa Cruz participated, calling on Congress to defund federal immigration enforcement agencies. The statement also underlined that some 40 people have died in ICE custody since the Trump administration began expanding federal immigration enforcement. With increasingly frequent and violent immigration enforcement encounters happening nationwide, a Santa Cruz County volunteer network that documents federal immigration activity has seen a surge in interest. I reported on what that means for the organization earlier this week. Janet has volunteered with Your Allied Rapid Response, or YAR, for nearly a year. She gave only her first name because she says some solidarity groups have become targets.
We have seen a huge uptick in demand for training starting in the fall that then, particularly as things became so visible and so horrible in Minnesota.
YAR Santa Cruz County is adding more trainings. There are similar volunteer-based solidarity networks in Monterey and San Benito counties.
We have a large and valued immigrant community. We know that this political administration has targeted people with brown skin and people who have come here to try to make an honest living.
Making a living as a Central Coast farmer is no easy feat, but a draft bill in Congress could lighten that load for some, but not all farmers. Elena Neal Sachs has that story.
A draft version of a new farm bill released last week brings back a program that benefits Central Coast farmers and food banks.
The Local Farmers Feeding Our Communities Act. We were pleasantly surprised that it was included.
Keely Cervantes is a policy and organizing manager at the Community Alliance with Family Farmers. She's referring to a House bill that would essentially revive a popular program the Trump administration ended last spring. It gave food banks money to buy from local farms, offering small-scale farmers a reliable place to sell while increasing access to fresh food.
This is a program that is very, very obvious, that it's a win-win for everyone involved.
But she says overall, the draft farm bill favors larger farms, most of which grow commodity crops like wheat, rice, and soybeans.
The local and regional food systems that are key to our small farm viability in California, they get mentioned in the farm bill, but it really lacks with mandatory funding.
The last farm bill was passed in 2018, and a new one could still be a ways away.
For the first time in 15 years, Big Basin Redwoods State Park is expanding. The news dropped this week, which was marked by steady downpours across Monterey Bay. Erin Malsbury has this update.
The park announced a purchase of 153 acres from the nonprofit Sempervirens Fund. The property is known as the gateway to Big Basin. Sempervirens Fund Executive Director Sarah Barth says it's especially important for the park's recovery from the 2020 fire.
Because it didn't burn very severely, it still has a lot of species like Douglas fir that were otherwise basically killed off in the rest of Big Basin as a result of the fire.
She hopes the land can act as a seed bank to help restore some of those species to the rest of the park. The property is also important for the park's redesign and will be close to the new visitor center.
It's a lovely forest, and it's filled with amazing waterfalls and streams that I think the public is really going to enjoy when it's opened up to them.
Barth visited the land this week and said there was snow on the ground.
And that's all we have for this week, folks. This episode was produced by me, Katie Brown. It included reporting from me, Ingalls E. Cole, Elena Neal Sachs, and Erin Malsbury. Our editor is Amy Mayer, KAZU's news director. We'll be back with more local news next week.